Hallmark Media presents. It's snowing, it's snowing. In association with Johnson Production Group. It's howling, I'm telling. Title card, My Christmas Guide. And oh, that old man winter. Amber Marshall. Ben Mail. A Sunny Tree-Lined Street. Ava Weiss. A Woman Shovels Snow. Justin Nurse. A Sign in Front of a Building. Best Friend Dog Guides. Inside the Building. A Jar of Dog Treats is refilled. Casting Ron Leach, CDC. A Dog Bed labeled Beezer. Composer Russ Howard III. Costume designer Morgan Todd. Various dogs in harness are led through a pole maze. Editor David J. Kane. Production designer Stephen Butler. A woman with long strawberry blonde hair to a golden retriever.
All right, Max. Today's your big day.
Colleague.
You're going to be great. Thank you.
She puts a harness on the dog.
Max, head in.
Director of photography Juan Montalvo. Co-producers Joseph Wilka, Lisa Alford. Executive producers Oliver DeCagney, Andrew Sierran.
All right, we'll be back in about an hour.
Got it covered.
Okay.
Good luck today, Max.
Max, forward.
Now outside, the woman walks down the snow-covered street with Max.
Max, fine curb.
Max stops at the curb.
Fine curb.
That's it, good boy.
Max, forward.
They cross the street. Executive producer Timothy O. Johnson. Now a blind man waits outside an elementary school. He holds a white cane. He wears dark glasses and has wavy dark hair. An 11-year-old girl approaches.
Hey, kiddo.
Producer Tara Lee Gerhard.
Pretty good.
The woman with the dog watches from across the street. Written by Keith Hemstreet.
Allie. You don't need that one.
Directed by Maxwell McGuire. The blind man folds up his cane.
How was your math quiz?
He takes her arm.
I'm so confused on the fraction. And we have a big test right before Christmas break.
Maybe I can help you.
You stink at math.
That is true, but don't worry. We'll figure it out.
Hey, Dad, there's a woman over there with an eye dog. You should get one of those.
A dog? No, no.
Why not?
Are you kidding me? I have a hard enough time getting through the day without making a mess of things. A dog would just make it worse.
The girl and the woman look at each other.
So, what sounds good for dinner?
Are we ordering takeout?
What do you think?
Father and daughter go off.
Forward.
The dog trainer continues on her way. Wide shot of the city. Snow falls gently. We don't have to be cold this Christmas. Later that evening, an apartment. The dog trainer has dinner with a man. Man.
Honestly, I don't even know how he did it, but he managed to get his tea times for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All the boys are coming. PJ, Chainsaw, Tharp, the Dash is flying in.
He looks at the dog trainer.
What's the matter?
Dog trainer.
Nothing.
You're mad. Chainsaw's coming. That's what it is.
No, I'm not.
Well, something's the matter. Tell me, please.
That's the weekend of our company Christmas party, Jeff.
I totally forgot.
My dad's gonna be there. He was really excited to meet you. And all the employees are gonna be there, clients, friends. I have a litter of puppies for the kids to play with.
I'm sorry. Should I cancel? I'll cancel. I will cancel.
No.
She touches his arm.
You go with your friends.
Are you sure?
Okay? Yeah, just, you can meet my dad when you're back, okay?
Yeah, totally.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, and I'll be all yours for the rest of the holidays.
Okay, good, because I have something special planned for you, an early Christmas present.
Yay. Whatever it is, I can't wait.
Chad drinks his wine. The next day, the blind man's house. In his bedroom, he opens his closet door. He scans clothing with his phone using a color identifier app. App voice.
White.
Scanning a shirt. Another shirt.
Light blue.
He selects the blue shirt. Now he scans his pants.
Black. Dark gray.
He selects the dark gray pants, then closes the closet door. Next on a college campus, using his cane to navigate, the blind man approaches a construction site.
Get rid of the snow.
He walks into low scaffolding at eye level, bumping his head.
Hey,
pal.
A foreman.
You all right?
Blind man.
Yeah, I don't know. Am I bleeding?
No blood, but that is definitely going to leave a mark.
This is part of the campus construction, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
He picks up the cane he dropped.
And are you the owner of the construction company?
Me? No, I'm the foreman.
Okay, is the owner around?
Not today, why?
But I'm just wondering if he's well insured.
The foreman looks worried.
You wouldn't sue, would you? I marked everything up.
The cone's out, look!
Sorry.
Obviously, you didn't put enough, because somehow I managed to walk right past them and knock myself senseless on whatever
he
this...
He taps the scaffolding.
Oh, take it easy, pal.
With his cane.
I'm really sorry.
I tell you to use the side entrance on the other side of the building, but it's pretty torn up over there, too.
Thanks for the consideration. You are too accommodating.
Look, I'll try to do a better job of blocking the area off, all right?
Please do.
You want an ice pack for your head? I can run and get you one.
No, just please make sure this can't happen again.
Okay. I will. Look, this way. Get careful.
The foreman steers him past obstacles.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, you sure?
The blind man walks up the steps and the foreman turns away. Now in an office. Blind man.
I don't need time off, Dr. Shaw. I know it's been an adjustment and I appreciate your understanding, but truth is, I could teach this class with my eyes closed.
Dr. Shaw doesn't laugh.
Poor attempt at a joke.
Dr. Shaw.
It wasn't. I just wasn't sure if I should laugh.
Another drawback of having a disability. I can't even be self-deprecating anymore.
Look, it's not your teaching, Dr.
Listen,
Donovan.
I'm just starting my lessons on Dickens, and they continue into the spring. It's my favorite part of the class. Don't make me give that up.
I'm not making you do anything. I'm just saying, consider it. They're just getting started on construction, and this place is only going to get more torn up. Might be good to take a break. Come back next fall when the renovation is done. I know it's been hard. I'm just trying to help you out. We've got a fill-in professor ready to go. All you have to do is say the word.
The blind man picks up his cane and stands. He unfolds the cane.
Thank you, Dr. Shaw.
He picks up his bag and makes his way out of the office. Later that evening, the blind man's house. His daughter's bedroom, the girl climbs into bed. Her father enters, sitting on the edge of the bed. Blind man.
All right, kiddo. You all set?
Girl.
Yeah.
She notices the bruise on his head.
What happened to your head?
Oh, nothing. I just bumped it.
On what?
I don't know exactly. There's a big construction project going on at the university.
Does it hurt?
A little.
She kisses the bruise.
Dad, I want to make sure you're safe. That's why I really, really think we should get a guide dog.
I should have known that was coming.
If you had a dog, you wouldn't have hit your head.
All right, that's enough. Time to get some sleep, kiddo.
He turns off the light.
Fine, but I'm not giving up on this.
Good night.
He kisses her head. Then he exits the room, closing the door behind him. Now at the school, a boy mimics a white cane user using a crooked stick. He walks back and forth in front of the blind man's daughter and her friend. She ignores him.
I don't really understand the fractions. It's really hard.
The kid purposefully bumps into her. Kid.
Oops, I didn't see you there.
Let's go.
The girl and her friend walk away. The mean kid high-fives his buddy. Now the dog trainer enters the school and approaches a receptionist's window. Trainer.
Hi there. My name's Peyton Lewis. I'm a guide dog trainer. The other day I saw a man out front with a mobility cane. He was picking up a girl probably 11 or 12.
Receptionist.
Yes, she's a student here. Your father lost his eyesight not too long ago.
I'm hoping I can leave some information for them. It's just about guide dogs and what they can do to help.
Sure, I'll pass it along.
Thank you.
The receptionist takes the pamphlet and Peyton goes off. Later, the blind man's house, the living room. He picks up a book from a stack on the coffee table. He opens it up, then presses play on his laptop.
A Tale of Two Cities.
Book narrator.
By Charles Dickens. Narrated by Nathan Jenkins. Chapter 1.
His daughter enters. She puts her knapsack down. She holds the dog guide pamphlet. Girl.
Dad, where are you?
Blind man.
Here.
She runs to her dad.
Get up.
What's going on? Is there a fire?
No, everything's fine.
What are you doing?
Making sure you're always safe. Well,
The living room is adorned with several small Christmas trees, now at the dog training facility.
Good girl.
Peyton works with the yellow lab.
Good. Good.
The blind man and his daughter enter. Blind man.
Where are we?
Oh, yeah. Peyton. To a colleague.
Katie, do you mind,
She picks up the puppy and puts it on the counter.
Holding on to her for a moment?
Katie. Sure. Peyton greets the blind man.
Hi. Can I help you?
Blind man.
Hi. You wouldn't happen to be the person who left some information on guide dogs at my daughter's school, would you?
Yes, that was me. I was out training one of our dogs and I saw you and thought maybe we could help.
Oh. Thank you for being so presumptuous. Because of that, my daughter insisted that we come here today.
Daughter.
That's because my dad needs a guide dog. Bad. Look at the bump on his head. He walked right into a pole or something at work.
Annie. I'm sorry, this is all just a little impulsive, which is not my nature.
No, I completely understand.
Maybe we should start over. I'm Trevor.
Trevor holds out his hand.
This is Annie.
Peyton shakes it.
Peyton, hi.
She shakes Annie's hand.
I'm the founder of Best Friend Guide Dogs Training Center. Have you ever had a guide dog before?
We've never had a dog.
Annie looks at her dad.
Even though I've always wanted one?
Yeah, that's my fault. I've just never felt like I had the time to take one on.
Well, that's understandable, but a well-trained guide dog will make your life more efficient, keep you safe, and in no time at all, be one of the most loyal friends you've ever had. Sort of like another member of the family. If you like, you can come to my office and I can ask you some questions and find out if this is right for you.
Okay, thank you.
Right this way.
They follow Peyton to her office. Peyton.
So you're legally blind?
Trevor sits in front of the desk. Trevor.
Yeah.
And what's the cause?
It's a form of retinitis pigmentosa.
Which came on over how long?
Well, the real change was over the last 2 years.
That's fast.
Early on, my symptoms were mild, so I didn't pay much attention to it. And then there was a rather dramatic change over a short period of time.
Do you still see shapes, or how's your light perception?
I can detect some things, brighter lights, like windows in the daytime, that kind of thing. It's all fuzzy and pixelated.
What's your profession?
I'm a professor at the university.
Really? What do you teach?
Classic literature.
Interesting subject.
Well, you know what Mark Twain said? A classic is a book nobody reads.
My dad used to read me A Christmas Carol every year. I still love that book.
Annie.
I do too.
Maybe there's hope for literature after all.
But to be honest, I'd rather watch Elf Dad. No offense.
None taken, kiddo. I get it. I mean, who doesn't love Elf? It's great storytelling right there.
I think I have a dog in mind for you. Would you like to meet him?
Sure.
Back in the lobby, Katie brings Max out to meet them. Peyton.
Thank you, Katie. This is Max.
Annie.
Hi, Max.
Trevor.
There.
Pets Max.
You're a good boy, huh?
Hey, are you sure about this?
I am. I knew that Max would be perfect for you and Annie. And he seems to agree.
Okay, so what's the next step?
Well, that's up to you and your schedule, but we can start training as early as tomorrow.
Max needs more training?
No, you do.
Later that night, Peyton's apartment. Peyton makes coffee. Katie.
I'm not jumping to conclusions.
Peyton.
Well, I think you are.
He chose a golf trip to Florida with his friends instead of meeting your dad.
I'll meet him when he gets back.
He's also missing the Christmas party.
I know, but...
But what?
It's just there's more to it than that.
To make a relationship work, you need to be each other's first priority. In my experience, when a guy starts prioritizing his friends over you, you're on a slippery slope. You two have been dating for how long?
Almost 10 months.
Look, I'm not saying that you need to jump ship or anything. Just, you know, don't be dismissive of these things.
Yeah. I know. That's good advice. You should probably have your own column, you know? Like, give Dear Abby a run for her money.
Dear Katie.
Right.
It is good. I like the sound of that.
What do you think, Max?
Max looks up from the floor.
Oh, there was a smile.
The next day, on the street, Trevor starts his training.
How am I supposed to get a feel for it without Max?
Peyton.
Well, I'm gonna guide
holding
you.
A harness.
You're gonna pull me around my neighborhood while I hold onto a harness?
Pretty much, yes.
No.
Why?
No, that's embarrassing.
As embarrassing as falling off a curb or hitting your head?
My neighbors are gonna see me.
Trevor, I understand that this is a pride thing, but it's also about something so much more.
This is about your safety.
And for being there for Annie. So, my training works. I've proved it time and time again, and I'm not about to skip any steps with you. So what do you say? Want to give it a try?
Guess so.
Reluctantly, Trevor takes the harness handle.
Go for a walk.
Okay.
Katie holds the dog end. They walk. Peyton.
As Max approaches the doorway, he'll turn in front of you just so that you know to stop.
Got it, Summer.
Trevor reaches out and opens a door.
Okay.
Just like that.
Welcome to my spot.
They enter the restaurant.
I still have reservations about all of this.
Next at a cozy table.
I mean, taking care of a dog. I can barely take care of myself and my daughter.
Hey, Max has been trained to be patient and obedient, but more importantly, he's trained to be there for you.
Yeah, I know. He said he'd turn my life around, but will he really? I'm worried he's more likely to turn my life upside down. I don't need that again. Listen, Peyton, can I be honest with you?
Yeah, of course.
Sometimes I feel like I'm barely hanging on. Like, I'm on a tightrope and the smallest thing could knock me off.
Listen, I'm not going to pretend like I know what you're going through. But I can say this with confidence. Max is going to be good for you. He's going to be good for Annie. And I'm going to make sure of it.
She clinks his mug with hers.
Okay.
Later, the dog training facility. Peyton approaches the counter. Peyton.
Do you have any extra toys down there?
Katie.
Yeah.
Excitedly, Chad knocks on the window.
Get out of here. I gotta show you something. Early Christmas present. Come on.
Peyton grabs her coat.
Why are you so slow?
I'm coming.
Are you ready?
She exits. They go to Chad's car and he opens the trunk.
What do you think?
Revealing shiny new golf clubs.
Oh, new clubs for your golf trip?
Not just new clubs. These.
He takes the clubs out.
Are the best they make. These are the ones Rory McIlroy uses. What?
Peyton scratches her head.
I just feel stupid. I thought you meant that you got a new present for me, and I mean, you were banging on the window, yelling at me to come out.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah?
I do. I can see how you would have interpreted it that way.
I'm sorry. I just get too excited. You know, these clubs are just so hard to find, especially just before Christmas. I just happened to be at the pro shop today, just as the delivery truck showed up. And you know that feeling, Christmas morning, when you get that one thing you really wanted more than anything else?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about those clubs.
Chad looks lovingly at the clubs.
But don't worry. I got something really special in mind for you, too.
Do you?
Just you wait. This is going to be a Christmas to remember.
Peyton heads back inside. Chad puts the gloves back in his trunk. He waves as she goes inside. Later, Trevor's house, the living room. Peyton.
Okay, so let's pretend it's early morning and you're just starting your day. What you're gonna do is take the harness, one hand on one side and one on the other, and you're gonna put it right at his level.
Okay.
And you're gonna say, Max, head in, okay?
Trevor.
Max, head in.
Max obediently steps into the harness.
Good. Good boy. Okay, and then there should be a clasp that goes around his belly. Can you feel that?
Yeah.
He fastens the martingale.
Just like that. You ready to walk around the neighborhood?
Sure.
Do you remember the command?
Trevor stands holding the harness.
Max, forward.
They walk. Now on the street.
There's an intersection coming up.
Right. Max, find curb.
They stop at the curb.
Good boy. Yeah, this is a tricky intersection. There's no beeping pedestrian signal. I had a close call here once with an electric car. They're so quiet, I swear they're gonna be the death of me.
Not if you're with Max.
Okay, so how does he know when it's safe to cross?
Max won't cross if there's traffic, even if you ask him to. That's called intelligent disobedience. If you say go and there's vehicles there, he won't. But if it's clear, he'll lead you across.
Okay, I think it's safe to go. Max, forward.
They cross the street.
Yeah, okay. I think I could get used to this.
They continue walking. Later at the coffee shop, Trevor.
No, you're right. I'm really starting to feel like Max has kind of got my
Peyton.
I'm serious, he does. Okay, in no time, you two will be best buds.
So listen, don't take this the wrong way.
Oh, intriguing lead-in, Professor.
It's just, you smell very nice.
Thank you.
Okay, that sounds weird, doesn't it?
No.
It sounds weird to me.
It doesn't. Doesn't sound weird. It was a nice thing to say. Thank you.
If you don't mind me asking, what perfume do you wear?
It's called Soleil de Matin, I think.
Soleil de Matin. Yeah. Not that I know anything about perfume, but that is a nice one. It's very subtle.
That's what I like about it, too.
It's like a faint whiff of flowers in a summer's breeze.
Oh, wow. They're really diving into this. Yes, that was what I was going for. And actually, I'm almost out of it, but I think you have convinced me to invest in another bottle.
Definitely, you should. I mean, that's your scent. Okay, we'll get off the topic of scents.
Thanks.
Unless you want to compliment me on how I smell.
She sips her coffee.
Really?
Feel free, I'll take.
Okay, I'm sorry. You smell very nice. Is that what you want?
Thank you. Yes, please, thank you.
Later that night, Trevor's house. After one day's training, Max is in their home. He lays on a dog bed.
Good night, Max.
Annie.
Thanks for everything you're doing for my dad.
Annie lays with him. She kisses Max's head, then gets up. Trevor.
Got a call earlier. Guess what's on its way?
Annie lays in bed.
Our Christmas tree. It's coming this weekend.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to decorate it. Can you help me with the top part?
Of course.
I'm going to make it the prettiest tree we've ever had.
Don't doubt it, kiddo.
Trevor gets up and turns off the bedside lamp. The next day, Peyton's in her car. Chad approaches with his clubs. Chad.
Pop the trunk.
Chad puts the clubs in the trunk. He gets into the front passenger seat.
Babe.
Yay. Woo.
Thank you for driving me to the airport.
Peyton.
Yeah, of course.
I cannot believe this time tomorrow I'm going to be on the first tee with the boys.
Yeah, so exciting. Hey, Chad, my dad was thinking, you know, because you're going to miss the Christmas party, maybe we could grab dinner the night after you're back.
That should work.
Okay. So, like, Angelino's?
Love it.
Okay, I'll make reservations then.
Listen, I really appreciate you.
being so cool about this trip.
Yeah. And don't forget, I've got something special in the works for us for Christmas when you're back.
Yay!
Let's get you in the air.
They drive off. Later, Peyton walks with Trevor and Max. Trevor.
This is the part of my routine that's been giving me the most trouble.
Peyton.
Well, that's understandable. Construction can be one of the most dangerous obstacles to navigate.
Yeah, it always seems to be changing. That's the biggest problem. I can't visualize the route because it's always different.
Well, and that's where Max really proves his worth. He's a professional obstacle avoider.
Okay, so how do we do this?
Why don't you start by explaining where we're going? That way I can lead us there and Max will learn the destination.
Yes, it's the English building, and there is my office and my classroom.
Okay, and is there a break room or somewhere you have lunch?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, we'll go there, and everywhere else you need to go inside.
Bathroom, too, I guess, nearest my office.
Of course. And once Max knows all the routes, he'll be able to navigate safely through the construction, even if it's different every time.
They approach the construction. Peyton looks on as Max works.
Find steps, Max.
They climb the steps. Next inside.
My office is right down this hall.
Student.
Hey, Professor Donovan.
Oh, Nathan, how's it going today?
Good, good. Are you giving a tour?
Yeah, something like that. This is my new guide dog, Max. And this is Peyton Lewis, guide dog trainer extraordinaire.
Hi.
Hello.
Nathan here is one of my brightest students.
Oh, come on, you give me too much credit. Professor Donovan has a lot of bright students. He's too humble, so don't tell him I told you this, but he's one of the best professors I've ever had. And that's no exaggeration.
Oh, please. He's trying to pad his grades.
Well, I gotta get to class. It was nice meeting you.
Peyton.
Yeah, you too.
Until next time, Professor Donovan.
Until next time.
Awesome.
Bye, Max.
Nathan goes off.
Nathan came up with that as an alternative to see you later.
I like it.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Forward, Max.
Later, Trevor's office.
It smells like a library in here.
Yeah, don't you love it?
I do. Cute stuffed animal.
Oh, that's from Annie. She wanted me to keep it in my office so I could reach out and touch it and think of her.
She's so sweet. You want me to take him?
Oh, thanks.
Hey, buddy. Hi.
Peyton takes Max's leash.
There's a good spot in the corner for a day bed for Max to rest while you're working.
Yeah. I was thinking I'd take him to the classroom each day.
That's entirely up to you. Max will be perfectly fine waiting here for you, or he can lie at your feet during your class.
I just wonder if he's going to be a distraction for the students.
Well, I'm sure there will be some initial excitement for sure, but during your lectures, Max will be as quiet as a mouse, so entirely your call.
Maybe I'll try it out a couple times, see how it goes.
Yeah, for sure.
Should we go see the classroom? It's nearby.
Of course.
Okay.
Here.
I'll take this.
Max, go with. Go with.
Peyton takes the leash and grabs the harness handle.
Forward, Max.
They head out of the office. Now in the lecture hall. A lighted garland adorns the lectern.
Is this where you teach all your classes?
This is it. Used to be a few different classrooms, but the administration shifted things around to accommodate me.
Well, that's good. That'll make it easier for both you and Max.
Yeah. Sit.
Max sits.
Good boy.
Peyton takes a seat.
Listen, I hope this doesn't sound vain at all. It's just, in losing my eyesight, I've also lost some of my confidence. Not really in what I teach, just in how I'm perceived by the students.
You think they view you differently?
How could they not? It's not like they've had a bunch of blind professors before. I'm the only one in the English department and one of two in the entire university. So, stay. If you wouldn't mind just telling me.
Trevor steps behind the lectern.
How I look.
Dignified. Scholarly. And handsome.
It's all very kind of you to say.
Professor Donovan, from everything I have seen here today, one thing is very clear. Your students are so lucky to have you.
Later that night, Trevor's house. Annie.
I'm doing fine in all my other subjects, but math is getting confusing.
Peyton.
Your dad might have mentioned something about that. You know, when I was in college, I used to tutor kids in math. I could help you out if you want.
You do that for me?
Yeah, of course. Why don't we pick a day and we'll go over some problems together?
That'd be great. Thank you.
Are you okay in there?
Trevor looks out of the kitchen.
Yeah, all good. I just got the water on. Peyton, you sure I can't make you a tea or a hot chocolate too?
I'm okay, thank you, but I have to head out in a minute.
Okay.
Annie, can I ask you something?
Sure.
Can you think of anything that your dad used to love to do before he lost his eyesight that he doesn't really do anymore?
Annie whispers in Peyton's ear.
Okay.
The next day, the dog training facility. Peyton sits at her desk. Katie enters with a yellow lab. Katie.
Sandra's just brought Betsy back. Said that she passed her 8 weeks of socialization with flying colors.
Good.
I'm gonna get this one started on the obstacle course and then some clicker training.
Okay.
Peyton looks at her phone.
What you looking at there?
A friend of Chad's posted some pictures of their trip. I'll see.
She shows Katie.
Tell me what you think. Honestly.
A photo of Chad with his buddies and a couple of girls.
I'm trying not to jump to conclusions.
Katie enlarges the picture.
Chad makes that hard sometimes.
Chad, cozy with a woman.
I shouldn't even be looking at this stuff.
That's also true.
Looking happy.
But when it comes to a boyfriend that you're getting serious with, dear Katie says, the more you know, the better.
Katie goes off.
Come on.
Now at an off-leash dog park. Peyton.
This is a place that you're going to want to come often, right? It's completely enclosed and Max can just run around, have fun, socialize.
Trevor.
I just let him go?
Yeah, well, you're going to give him the cue, Max, run.
Okay.
Okay, but first you want to make sure that you unclip.
Peyton takes the handle off the harness.
So he can run and have a good time. And then when you're ready, take off his leash and give him the cue. And he's got a vest on with all your information, so that should be on him at all times just to be safe.
Okay. Max, run.
Max runs off.
Would you like to sit?
Sure.
Peyton leads Trevor to a bench. Max runs back to them.
Hi, good boy. Good boy, go have fun.
There's a bench right behind you.
Oh.
They sit on the bench. Max paces in front of them. He sniffs another dog's butt.
Is Max okay?
Oh, he's having a blast.
Okay, this is going to take some getting used to.
Peyton pets the strange dog.
Yeah, it'll get easier with each time you come. And this would be a great place to bring Annie as well. Not only that, but I'm here almost every day with one or more of my dogs. So if you want to schedule a time, I would be happy to meet you here. And when you're here alone, just know that Max isn't going to leave you.
I think I have attachment issues. Anything that's important to me, I have a hard time letting go of. I just said yes to Annie's first sleepover in I don't know how long. She's gonna stay at a friend's house one night over the break. It gives me anxiety just thinking about it.
Wow, it's good. It's progress.
My wife and I divorced a few years ago. She quickly fell in love with this guy and moved away with him. It just made me realize that the things you assume are permanent fixtures in your life, they may not be. And then I lost my eyesight. I could hardly leave Annie at school. I wanted her by my side all the time. Her voice, her touch, her presence, just knowing she was there, that's what sustained me. Yeah, I'm not out of the woods yet, but Annie, she's gotten me this far.
She's a pretty amazing girl.
Max returns from his romp.
Hi, Max.
Hey, is that Max?
Yeah. Good boy. Always reinforce good behavior.
Good boy, Max. Good boy.
You can go play still. Go on. Go, run.
Max runs off. Now at the guide dog Christmas party. The office is ambitiously decorated. Trevor enters with Max. Peyton approaches.
Trevor.
Peyton.
Hey.
Hey. I'd like you to meet my
Trevor.
Dad.
Oh, I'd love that.
Okay, he's right up here.
They approach an older man.
Dad?
I would like you to meet Trevor. He's a friend and client.
Dr. Lewis.
Oh, yes, the professor you were telling me about.
Dr. Lewis, it's a pleasure. Your daughter's a very special person. It's amazing what she does with this place.
I'm very proud of her. Do you know, when she was just 5, I got her a lab pup for Christmas? Bella. It was the year her mom passed, so I knew we'd both do well with the dog around. By the end of the day, she had Bella sitting, shaking hands, lying down, rolling over. When I put Peyton to bed that night, she said, Dad, one day I'm going to be a dog trainer.
She sure did follow through.
Peyton mentioned that you have a daughter too. Is she around?
Yes, Annie. She's right there having another cookie.
Oh, I gave her a 3-cookie limit, but I'm not sure she always listens when it comes to sweets, so maybe you guys can help me keep an eye on her.
Will do.
So Peyton tells me you are a cardiothoracic surgeon in Chicago?
That's right.
So do you have any advice on how I can avoid ever needing your services?
Well, maybe avoid the cookies.
Okay, got it.
Guests enjoy the festive food and drink. Peyton.
Hi, everyone. Can I have your attention, please? First of all, I just want to thank all of you for being here. The dogs we train, they change lives. And each and every one of you has played an important role in our success. Now, this work starts far before the dogs are even born. Guide dog parents are specifically chosen based on a number of things, including their breed and ancestry. And what that does is produces puppies that are literally born to be guide dogs. With that said, I would like to introduce our newest litter of future guide dogs.
Peyton opens a crate containing a litter of German Shepherd puppies.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, so nice.
The kids call to the puppies. Peyton puts a puppy in Annie's arms. The puppies are passed around.
Aren't they cute? Now, a few of our seasoned volunteers have already signed up to adopt one of these adorable pups. But if any of you have interest, please talk to me or Katie. We will be there every step of the way, and we will walk you through the whole process. Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Annie.
That was really fun.
Peyton.
It was, wasn't it?
Outside the school. Katie.
I'm just going to drop this off on the way in the car.
Thank you so much for all your help tonight.
Of course.
Peyton, even though we have Max, can we still adopt one of your guide dog puppies?
Trevor.
Oh, Annie, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm still getting used to Max.
But once we really know what we're doing, can we?
Oh, of course.
Okay, everything's sorted out here. We should be getting home.
Dr. Lewis.
Mr. Donovan, Annie, I've really enjoyed meeting you both.
Likewise, Dr. Lewis.
They shake hands.
Oh, and thanks for the reading list. I'm going to pick one and get started right away. Maybe East of Eden.
Great choice. Steinbeck's magnum opus. Hey, when you dive in, give me a call. We'll chat about it.
I'd really enjoy that.
Peyton embraces her dad.
Your mother would be so proud of you.
Thanks, Dad.
I'll see you at dinner.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Dr. Lewis goes off.
Ask her, Dad.
We
were wondering.
Yeah, we were wondering if you'd like to come over tomorrow night to help us decorate our Christmas tree.
Are you kidding? I would love to.
Are you sure? If you got better things to do.
You and Annie are great company, and I love decorating Christmas trees. Honestly, I couldn't think of a better way to spend my evening.
Great. Let's go.
See ya.
Trevor, Annie, and Max go off. The next evening, Trevor's house. They decorate the tree.
We'll sing here.
Mini trees litter the living room.
Okay, what do we got?
Go, yeah.
Up.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Max watches.
Christmas spirit.
Okay.
decorations are hung.
Right there.
Ooh. Tell me where to go.
Thanks.
While sitting on Trevor's shoulders, Annie puts the lighted topper on the tree.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
Here we go.
Trevor lowers Annie to the floor.
Wow. It's beautiful.
They look at the tree.
It really is.
Exterior shot, Trevor's house, evening. Now Chad, his Florida golf vacation. Chad's hotel room. His buddy reclines on the couch. Golf clubs lean on the bed.
Hey, babe.
Chad.
Good to hear your voice.
Peyton.
Yeah. How's your big golf weekend going?
Great.
New clubs took my game to the next level.
It's good.
I saw some pictures that Chainsaw posted.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who were those girls?
What girls?
The ones that weren't wearing a whole lot that you had your arms around?
Oh, yeah, them. They worked for the drink cart.
And we were just stopping by to grab some cold ones.
Chainsaw said, why not get some pictures? Just some benign fun.
Nothing for you to worry about.
Yeah, okay.
Remember to send me your flight info, please.
Because I have to pick you up.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We're thinking of extending the trip.
How long?
Just 2 or 3 days.
4, tops.
Oh, so 4.
Dolphins are playing the Bills Monday night.
We hooked in some tickets. We figured while we're in the area, why not play Jupiter Hills?
Was that like a golf course or something?
Only one of the best in Florida.
And the weather's looking great all week. It's 80 degrees here all the time.
What's the problem?
Just my dad's in town, Chad, and we were going to go out for dinner.
And not only that, but I have something planned for us on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. I am totally spaced.
I'm sorry.
If you want me to, I can come home.
No, we've been through this before, and it's fine. You're with your friends, and just make the most of it. We can go out with my dad the next time he's in town.
Bank on it. And listen, babe, you're the best.
I mean that.
Thanks.
Peyton hangs up. Later, Peyton, Trevor, and Max walk by the harbor. Trevor.
We're at the harbor. There's that bench.
Trevor feels for the bench.
There it is.
He sits.
This is the bench with the view of the bay right near
Peyton.
Banks.
It is.
Sits beside him.
Yeah, the Port Authority is down left a ways. Right behind me is Jelly Bean Row. And on top of the hill, St. John's Basilica.
You see it perfectly.
Annie and I used to order French fries from Benny's. They'd give us a big bag, and we'd sit right here, watching the fishing boats, sharing fries, and just talk. She'd tell me everything. And we'd make these big plans about things we wanted to do together.
Things like what?
Well, she had a thing for Paris. She still does. And I told her one day I would take her to see the Eiffel Tower all lit up at night.
That's going to be a great trip.
Come on. I can't do something like that with her now. Navigate a foreign city? It'd be a disaster.
Trevor, you can do anything that you could before. If you want to take Annie to Paris, I think you should.
I don't know. You know, when I started losing my sight, my worst fear wasn't that I wouldn't be able to see, as terrifying as that was. was that I was gonna let down my daughter. That I wouldn't be able to deliver as a dad.
Think about where we are. Now, this was one of your favorite places to bring Annie, and you just described it perfectly. You know, anything that you did together before, you can still do. And things that you dreamed of doing, you can do those too.
I hope so.
Annie told me about a place you also love to go to.
Yeah, where's that?
Well, you and Max are gonna have to follow me. Come on.
They get up from the bench.
Forward, Max.
Now they approach some stairs.
Okay, now there's a stair coming up in front of you.
Okay, Max finds stair.
What?
Wait a minute. Is this the Bull and Barrel?
You got it.
Wow, yeah, I used to come to this place all the time. It's the best music venue in town.
Well, that's why we're here.
What?
They enter the pub.
I think I got this.
Okay.
Peyton takes the dog.
Bar is right over here.
Yeah.
Trevor walks on his own.
The stage is in front of me. There's some games in the back corner if you're feeling lucky. There's stuff here.
So yes.
I always used to sit right up close to the stage. There's a little bench over here.
It's still there. I reserved it for us.
You did?
Yeah, I called the manager, Eddie, and he said that you were one of the biggest local music fans around. He also said that if you hadn't have taught literature, you might have been a pretty good music critic.
Might be my second act one day.
On stage, a musician straps on a guitar.
Max, here.
They sit down.
There's a musician who's just about to go on. Eddie said he thinks you'll like him.
Hey, you planned all this?
Well, it was your daughter's suggestion.
The musician plays.
Take those pictures down off the faded photographs. For this life away, let it drop. Tainted memories, time to stop. Cause I'm not going anywhere.
Now outside Trevor's house.
Well, I better get going. I'm meeting my dad for dinner.
Evening.
Oh, please tell him I said hello.
Yeah, I will.
What a great time, Peyton. I just can't thank you enough.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Hey, I don't want to come across as presumptuous again. But tomorrow night, I got this cooking class for my boyfriend, Chad. Well, for the two of us, but he extended his golf trip, so I have an open spot. And I thought maybe you'd be interested.
Did Annie put you up to this? She's got to be sick and tired of takeout by now.
No, this was actually my idea. The chef comes to your house. I'm excited about it. And I thought you might enjoy it. I mean, I was going to do it at my house, but we could do it here just as easily.
Yeah, that actually sounds really fun.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Max, find stairs.
Trevor climbs the stairs to his house. The dog training office, night. Peyton hangs paw prints on a tree.
There's just a real comfort level between us.
Peyton.
You know, I love the way he perceives the world. It's made me look at things differently.
Katie.
You can make me state the obvious.
What?
He's also extremely attractive.
Sure, there's that, but there's more to it.
That he's also a really nice guy?
He is. And watching him with his daughter, it's pretty adorable. He's just such a good dad.
I can tell you really like this guy.
Stop.
No. I've seen the two of you together. There's something there.
Okay. He's a client, and I'm in a relationship. Yeah, maybe under different circumstances.
Hey, When it comes to relationships, you follow your heart. And if the situation complicates that, you change it.
Now the cooking class. A burner's turned on and pasta is poured into boiling water. Peyton and Trevor chop vegetables. Trevor.
Okay. How's it looking?
The chef.
Oh, fantastic. You're a natural. That's amazing. Okay, so let's move on. Let's put some oil in the pan.
Where were we?
Trevor finds the oil.
There, perfect.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Pan?
About how much?
I do about 3 swirls. Okay, try starting with the size of a pancake and then just get smaller as you go inside.
Okay, swirly, swirly.
Yeah. He swirls the oil in the pan.
Okay.
Okay, and now we're going to saute the onions.
Trevor touches the chopped onions.
There you go.
I'm touching the food.
That's okay. Do you think chefs don't touch your food? It's all good.
Trevor carries the cutting board to the pan.
Perfect.
I'm finding the pan.
There you go.
Got it. Okay.
He scrapes the onions into the pan.
Oh, look at that. Amazing.
Oh, good.
Yes, perfect. And you'll be able to know when they're sauteed. The smell goes from this, like, raw and bitter sort of taste to...
Trevor sets the cutting board aside and stirs the onions.
Mmm. Oh, it's smelling good already.
Hey, I'm a cook.
Yeah.
A little later, they get settled at the table.
Thank you.
The chef.
Just say, you guys just make the most adorable couple.
Oh.
Peyton.
No, we're not a couple.
But I thought you said that this cooking class was for your boyfriend.
Trevor.
Yes, but I am not him.
Oh, he's still out of town, so. Oh, that sounded bad. That sounded bad. I didn't mean it like that. I just...
Hey, I'm staying out of it.
The chef goes off.
Okay, we should save a plate of this for Annie. She's going to be hungry when she gets home from ballet.
She is going to be impressed.
Impressed? She's going to be shocked. What? Dad, no takeout tonight?
Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to new friends.
To new friends.
They clink their wine glasses.
Mmm. Moment of truth.
They try the pasta.
Hey, I'm a good cook.
Are you?
Yeah.
A car passes by on the tree-lit street. A little later.
This tree reminds me of the ones we used to have when I was a kid.
In the living room.
My mom, she had quite the collection of ones.
On the couch.
Peyton, you were so young when she passed. Do you still have memories of her?
Yeah, I have a few. There's one I really hold on to, especially this time of year. It was late Christmas Eve, and I was still up, running around like crazy, jumping everywhere. And my mom, she kneeled down, she grabbed my hands, and... And with all of this childlike wonder in her eyes, she said, okay, sweetheart, you need to go to bed so Santa can do his thing.
That's a really special memory. Yeah, shows you that the ones we love, even if we can't see them anymore, they still live on within us.
Peyton looks at Trevor and he puts his hand on her shoulder. Wide shot of the tree-lined, glowing, festive street. A festive shop window. The next morning, Trevor's house. Trevor's asleep in bed. Max jumps on top of him.
Oh.
Trevor.
Max. Come on, 5 more minutes.
Max waits impatiently.
Okay. Okay. I'm up.
I'm up, buddy.
Trevor pets Max.
You're a good boy, aren't you?
Now Peyton's car pulls up to the curb. Chad is in the passenger seat. Peyton.
Hey, we're here.
Chad.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I fell asleep. I'm so sorry. Oh. Thank you for taking me up.
Of course.
He kisses her cheek.
Oh, can you pop the trunk?
Hey, Chad, I was thinking maybe we could grab dinner tonight. I know we have a bunch of things to do, but I'd love to hear about your trip, and you kind of slept the whole way.
Yeah, I would love to, but I gotta be at the office first thing tomorrow morning. Just got like a ton of work to do.
Yeah.
But let's do it soonish.
Okay.
Oh, your dad. You had a good time?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
That's good. That's good. It's good to see you. I missed you. Missed you too, Chad. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again.
Chad gets out of the car.
Bye.
He waves and goes off. Now Peyton, Annie, and Trevor are at the coffee shop. Peyton.
So they just did a ranking of the world's best hot chocolate. This one was 12th.
Annie.
In the world?
On the entire planet.
Trevor.
Interesting. They have a world's best rankings for hot chocolate.
Oh, they have a world's best ranking for everything these days.
Trevor tries it.
Oh, that's definitely better than 12th.
Thanks so much for taking us here, Peyton.
That was my pleasure. You know, I thought we should celebrate our progress with Max.
Dad, you spilled some on your shirt.
Oh, did I? Thanks, kiddo.
Annie wipes his shirt.
I just smeared it.
Who cares? You know what? This is way too good to worry about a little chocolate on your shirt. Let's just enjoy it.
Trevor sips his hot chocolate. Max lays on the floor. Now Chad's place.
Has she mentioned anything?
The kitchen, Chad on the phone.
I'm sure she has. I can't remember.
How about a sweater?
Too generic. I already told her it was going to be something special.
Okay, does she carry a purse?
Yes, sometimes, I think.
Okay, well, you can get her a new one. They can be expensive, though.
Yeah, see, that's another issue. Budget's a little tight since our boys' trip.
He sets out peanut butter and jam.
I've done when I've been in a bind. Tell her you're taking her somewhere.
Where?
Anywhere, like to go skiing or for a romantic weekend at the beach or something. Tell her it's all booked for the spring or summer. Flexible days to be sure it works with our schedule. That way, you kick the expenses down the road.
He's making a PB&J sandwich.
I could get behind this.
But you also gotta write her a heartfelt letter, saying how all you care about is getting to spend time with her. Then print up a bunch of info on the place and wrap it in a box and make it look all Christmassy.
Chainsaw. You're a genius.
Say hi to your mom.
He bites into the sandwich.
Thanks, boy. See ya.
Now at Trevor's place, nighttime. Peyton helps Annie with her math.
That's right, now multiply that by 2. Yeah, you got this.
Annie.
I was confused in class, but I actually understand it the way you teach me.
That's good. You do a few more of those practice sheets and you will be good to go for your test.
Thanks, Peyton.
I'm gonna go out and do some Christmas shopping, but if you have any questions at all, just call me.
Trevor.
You're a lifesaver.
It's my pleasure.
I'll walk out.
Annie looks up, watching them leave. Meanwhile, at Chad's place, Chad writes a letter.
Merry Christmas, Peyton. Pack your bikinis because you are going to Mexico this summer. A special trip for a special girl. Can't wait to spend this time with you. Love, your guy. Chad. James.
He folds the paper.
The man.
And pops it in a gift box.
Is a genius.
puts some other papers in the box and closes it, then sits back. Hands behind his head.
Thank you, Chainsaw.
Feet on the desk. Now at the dog training office. Chad gets out of his car with the box. Katie approaches, walking a dog. Katie.
What you got there, Chad?
Chad.
Hey, just a little something for under Peyton's Christmas tree. Hey, is that the guy Peyton's been working with every day?
Chad sees Peyton with Trevor and Max.
Yep.
Okay.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Chad puts the box back in the car.
Merry Christmas.
He walks over to Peyton and Trevor. Peyton.
Okay, so just square up your shoulders and then ask him to, and he should respond.
Chad.
Hey, Peyton.
Hey, Chad.
How you guys doing?
I was just showing Trevor how to back Max up.
Cool. Hey, I'm Chad.
Chad holds out his hand.
Boyfriend.
Trevor.
I'm Trevor, a client of Peyton's.
He pulls his hand back awkwardly.
Sorry, wasn't me.
What?
I went in for a handshake, force of habit.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Trevor shakes his hand.
Over here, buddy, there you go. Now we got it.
It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, yeah, you too.
I should get going.
Yeah, I'll drive you.
No, it's okay.
Come on.
I got Max. I'm good.
You sure?
He's got Max. He's good.
Okay, well, same time.
Okay, sounds good. Born Max.
Trevor and Max go off.
Hey, I'd like to take you to dinner. You choose the place.
He takes her hand and shakes it. Later at the restaurant, Peyton.
I never said you were immature.
Chad.
But you're implying it.
No, I'm just trying to understand what your priorities are right now. Come on, our relationship has changed over the last little while, and you can't deny that.
How?
No, we're not connecting like we used to. Early on, you doted on me, and I'm not saying that I expect that to be a constant thing, but you seem so distant lately, and I don't like that.
Chad splashes red wine on his shirt.
Great. Brand new shirt. Ruined.
Peyton downs her wine. The next day. High shot of the city. Now the school cafeteria. Annie gathers her lunch and sits at a table. The bully boy mimics being blind. He stumbles toward Annie. He touches Peyton's food. Bully boy.
Oh, help! I can't see!
He touches her food.
What's this?
He picks up her plate.
I can't see it.
He picks up her apple.
And how about this thing?
Annie stands. Annie.
Don't forget your cake.
She smushes her cake in his face and walks away. Other students snicker. A teacher comes to the boy as he starts to cry. Now Trevor and Max exit a building. Chad gets out of his car and approaches. Chad.
Trevor.
Trevor.
Is that Chad?
It is.
Chad pets Max.
Nice dog.
He's working.
Hey, listen, there's a couple of things I felt like I needed to say.
Okay.
I don't know what Peyton's told you about me.
Not much.
Well, we've been dating for about a year, and we're about to take our relationship to the next step. So that's between you and me. So I'm saying anything as a surprise.
No, of course.
And I don't know if you noticed, but Peyton puts a lot of herself into her work.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She is. And she's beautiful. You should see her.
I imagine.
Bet you do. I just want to make sure you understand. Although it might seem to you that you have this close relationship, something special, even, Peyton treats everybody she works with the same way. And so, though you might think there's something going on here, you're just another client to her. I just want to make sure you didn't get the wrong ideas, all.
Yeah, got it.
Chad starts to walk away.
You know...
He turns back.
When you lose your sight, you start to pick up on certain things.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I may be blind, but I can see pretty clearly that Peyton deserves better.
Forward, Max.
Tad and Max go off. Now Trevor returns home. He takes off his shades. He pulls out his phone.
Answer. Hello, this is Trevor Donovan.
Mr. Donovan, it's Principal Harris.
Now at the school, Trevor.
You can see she has no record of any behavioral issues. She's a great student.
Principal Harris.
I understand that, but it doesn't excuse her actions in the cafeteria.
Okay, let's be honest. This is a case of, and excuse me for saying this, but a little punk pushing a kid past her breaking point. I mean, what was she supposed to do?
Walk away.
That's easier said than done.
Engaging only makes it worse. The next time anyone gives Annie any trouble, she's been told to come to me and I'll deal with it.
Great. So then she gets labeled a snitch and the bullying just gets worse.
In the meantime, I want to make sure there's no more lashing out.
You know, this has been going on for a while. In the playground, at lunch, in the halls, and not once has a teacher or anyone from the administration intervened. This kid has had free rein to torment my daughter, and you have done nothing about it.
Look, I'm just telling you, Annie does something like this again, and it will result in a suspension. We cannot tolerate physical aggression, so let's just make sure she keeps her anger in check.
Her anger? Give me a break.
Trevor gets up.
This happens again, she's coming to me, and we'll handle it on our own. Come on.
Chad and Max go off. Now at the university, the lobby. Trevor.
Find stair, Max.
Dr. Shaw.
Dr. Donovan.
Dr. Shaw.
I heard you almost had another mishap at the construction site this morning.
No. Max helped me navigate that just fine.
Look, we're trying to make it work, but the construction crew is worried about you.
The whole faculty is worried about you. I'm worried about you.
Nathan looks on.
There's really no need to worry now that I have Max.
We both know a dog can't just suddenly fix everything.
So, I'm telling you this as a friend. I want you to seriously consider taking leave.
Dr. Shaw puts his hand on Trevor's shoulder.
I think it's the right decision.
Dr. Shaw walks off.
Forward, Max.
Max and Trevor walk up the stairs. Later, coffee pours from a coffee maker into a mug. Trevor waits for the coffee to finish brewing.
Message from Peyton Stevens.
Trevor takes out his phone.
Listen to voicemail.
Peyton.
Hey, good morning, Trevor. I'm still waiting on a delivery I have to sign for, so I'll be there a little late. Sorry about that. Maybe while we're out, we could grab a coffee at Victoria's. It's on me. Anyway, I'll see you soon.
Max, come.
Max gets up and goes to Trevor. Now Trevor arrives at the dog school.
Trevor. Hey, I thought we were meeting at your house.
Trevor.
Actually, I'm here to return Max. I thought it'd be best to do it before Annie gets too attached.
I think that Annie was attached to Max the moment she met him. What's going on?
I don't need him anymore.
I'm confused.
I'm not going to be teaching next semester or in the summer. I let my students know.
Okay, why?
I just need a break. And the construction was my biggest obstacle.
But not your only obstacle.
I can use my mobility cane.
Your cane is a hazard detector. Max is a hazard avoider, not to mention he's a companion for you and Annie.
I just need to simplify my life and reassess some things, so please, take Max. He's a good dog. He'll be better off with someone who really needs him.
He gives her the leash.
I know you put a lot of effort into this, and I appreciate that. I'm sorry.
Trevor takes out his cane.
Oh. I forgot. I got you a gift.
He hands Peyton a box tied up with a red bow.
Merry Christmas, Peyton.
Trevor goes off. Peyton watches him leave. Exterior shot of the dog training school. Inside, Peyton sits alone at her desk. Trevor's gift box is in front of her. She opens it and takes out a bottle of perfume. Katie approaches.
Peyton, there's something you gotta see.
Security footage of Chad and Trevor's conversation.
She's amazing. She is. She's beautiful. You should see her. I imagine. I know it might seem to you that you have this close relationship, something special even, but Peyton treats everybody she works with the same way.
You need more proof that Chad was a jerk. Now you have it.
Peyton stares at the screen.
Sometimes we all need a little help seeing what's right in front of us.
Yeah, I may be blind, but I can see pretty clearly that Peyton deserves better.
Peyton.
Yeah. Sometimes we do.
Peyton grabs her coat and exits. Now Chad's place. Chad's on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that one there, but I'm not really looking for a full-fledged engagement ring. Just something to lock it down. Something that says... we're together, and we're serious. Like a promise ring. Do you sell those? Hang on a sec. Somebody at my door.
Chad opens the door to find Peyton on the doorstep.
Hey, babe. What a nice surprise.
She steps inside.
Remember that special Christmas present I told you about? Just finalizing the details.
Peyton. Well, you can give it to someone else, because we're through.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What'd they do?
You had me fooled early on, Chad. But you are not a thoughtful person, and you need to work on that.
What are you talking about?
I'm not going to waste any more time with someone who treats people the way that you do. I should have done this a while ago, but I'll make it easy. We're done. We're good.
Babe.
Peyton walks out.
Come on. Come back.
Now outside, it's snowing. Then a sunny morning. Morning, the town is bathed in sunlight. The university, Trevor lectures.
That's the power of literature. It analyzes and lays bare more deeply than any other art form the heart and soul of the human condition.
Peyton creeps into the room.
Literature can inspire us to overcome our obstacles and reach for new heights, as Ralph Ellison did in his novel Invisible Man when he wrote, "The world is a possibility if only you will discover it."
Nathan listens.
It can instill virtue, like Harper Lee did in To Kill a Mockingbird when she wrote, "Real courage is knowing that you're licked before you begin, but you begin anyway and see it through no matter what." It can help us think more deeply about our expectations, our true purpose, and the way we interact with others, like Dickens did. And Dr. Marigold, when he wrote...
Peyton listens at the back of the room. Trevor smells her presence.
When he wrote... "No one is useless in this world who lightens the burdens of another."
Flashback to the bench at the harbor.
To close...
He remembers times with Peyton.
I just want to thank every one of you for your attention these past few months. You're an amazing group of students. So as you enjoy the holidays and set a course for the new year...
Having hot chocolate.
I'll rely again on Dickens, and I'm paraphrasing here. May we honor Christmas in our hearts and try to keep it there all the year. Until next time, everybody. Thanks.
Peyton slips out of the room, now outside the school. A bigger bully's picking on the bully boy. Big bully.
You ready to get pummeled again?
Annie.
Hey.
Walks up to them.
Only cowards pick on kids smaller than them.
Big bully.
Why don't you butt out? It's between me and this doofus over here.
Leave him alone, or I'll tell everyone your big secret.
The big secret?
That you still wet your bed?
Who told you that?
We go to the same doctor, and I heard your mom in the hallway asking him what she should do about it.
Fine, but if either you tell anyone about that, you're dead. Hear me?
He backs away. Little bully.
Why'd you do that? I figured if I could stop him from being mean to you, maybe stop being mean to me. I guess I'll have to wait and see if it works. One more thing. My dad's a pretty amazing guy. And if you knew him, I think you'd like him.
She walks away. Now Nathan knocks on Professor Shaw's door. Shaw.
Come in.
Nathan enters.
Yes, Nathan.
He holds a letter.
What can I do for you?
We've each written a letter stating our feelings about Dr. Donovan as an educator and a mentor. In these letters, I think you'll find a unanimous sentiment.
He puts the letter on his desk.
And what would that be?
Well, if Dr. Donovan isn't teaching in the spring, we don't want to take the class. We don't see any reason why he shouldn't come back. Do you?
Is that so?
He's one of the best professors at the university. You know, we're lucky to have him, and I think so are you. It'd be wise for you to just take a look at these. We appreciate your time, Dr. Shaw.
Nathan exits. Other students enter. Dr. Shaw reaches for Nathan's letter. Other students place letters on his desk. Dr. Shaw reads the letter. Now Peyton walks outside Trevor's house with Max. Inside, Trevor sits on his couch with his computer. Trevor.
Hey, computer. Read my emails.
Computer voiceover.
Dr. Donovan, about our last conversation. Look, I think I owe you an apology.
Who is it?
Peyton.
It's Peyton.
Trevor goes to the door. He opens the door.
And Max.
Max looks up at Trevor.
He was missing you.
You were at my lecture this morning.
I had a feeling you knew I was there. That's why I'm here with Max. What you said to your students, they were moved by it. I was moved by it. But I could tell you weren't just talking to them. You were talking to yourself, too. Trevor, someone who understands how beautiful and challenging and full of wonder life can be. That's not someone who gives up. That's not you.
Do you want to come in?
Peyton and Max step inside.
I'd like that.
Trevor closes the door. Now at Annie's school, a classroom, the teacher hands out papers. He gives Annie hers.
Yes!
She got 98%. A little later, Trevor, Peyton, and Max wait outside the school. Annie exits, coming down the steps. Annie.
Peyton! Hi, Dad.
Trevor.
Hey, kiddo.
Hi, Max. Oh, it's so good to see you.
Annie pets Max.
Guess what? I got a 90% on my math test.
Peyton.
No way. That's amazing.
Younger bully boy.
Bye, Annie.
Bye, Sean.
Hey, Mr. Donovan. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Annie, who was that?
Remember the boy who wasn't being very nice, so I smashed a cake in his face?
How could I forget?
That was him.
What?
It's all right, Dad. We're all good now.
Great. Okay, Max, forward.
They all go off. Later that night, Trevor's house.
Welcome home, Max.
Annie's in her bed. Max lays on the bed. Trevor.
All right, kiddo, it's getting late. We should get to bed so Santa can do his thing.
Annie lays down on her bed.
Oh, I meant to tell you, I invited Peyton over for tomorrow. Is that okay?
You kidding? I love Peyton.
I really like her, too.
I think you more than like her, Dad. And I think she likes you, too. Like, more than her friend.
Yeah? What makes you say that?
The way she looks at you.
All right. Good night.
Trevor switches off the lamp. He exits Annie's room, closing the door. A small Christmas tree glows on the other side of the room. The next morning, Trevor's house. Annie and Peyton are braiding. Peyton.
I think I'm doing this wrong.
Annie.
I think it's like you have to put all of them together and then one over.
That makes more sense. So it stays.
Trevor comes out of the kitchen.
Oh, boy.
Holding a mixer and bowl.
I really got to figure out which button is high speed on this mixer.
Would you like some help?
I took a cooking class. I got this.
He turns on the mixer.
Oh, no.
He gets dusted with flour.
Okay, pancake batter explosion. We're coming to the rescue.
Oh, boy.
Trevor's house later that evening. Peyton looks out the window as snow falls. Peyton sits down beside Trevor on the couch. Peyton.
It's snowing out.
It's magical. Peyton.
Trevor takes her hand.
Thank you. For everything. You've made this Christmas as special as any we've ever had.
You and Annie have done the same for me.
Trevor strokes Peyton's cheek with the back of his hand. Then he feels her face.
I've never known a woman, inside and out, was as beautiful as you.
Trevor and Peyton kiss.